This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning. It's Thursday. It is the 12th of April. All right, let's get going today, shall we? A little Thursday enthusiasm for you. All right, we've got to start with a couple of things. Morning, Sia. Morning, Mubs. Morning, Ben. Morning to you. And let's get cracking. We've got quite a lot to cover today. Justice Malala will be popping in to give us the latest in the burning platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. That's around 7 a.m. this morning. So first things first, you remember yesterday we got into a discussion around cartoons and we spoke a little bit about Winnie the Pooh.
that got very deep very quickly.
Yeah, it did. And someone mailed me yesterday to say that Gord was talking complete shit.
Whoopsie.
Yeah, someone said nothing that Gord said about Christopher Robin was true. They sent me a Wikipedia article link. This is from Andre, by the way.
Yeah, said proper research.
Yeah, he didn't even get into the war. Not good, Gord, with a frowny face, later Andre. So this is one of the things I've really enjoyed about being online and doing what we're doing here rather than in radio. So you've got very smart people listening and they check their facts. And you actually can't get away with bullshit here. You really can't. You know, on radio, if I said, well, the sun's actually bright purple and only people who are stupid can see it as yellow, they'd all go, well, it's definitely bright purple. But obviously here, you've got people who check things out. So we sent it on to Gord, and Ben obviously thought this is hilarious. So he said, not good, Gord. And then Gord replied and said, well, heck, that's disappointing as hell.
Wait, hang a second, sir. When Gord replied, was it a short or a long reply?
No, it was a long reply with many links in it that he also decided to justify himself with. So here's Gord's reply. He says, that's disappointing as hell. Not that Christopher Robin didn't die young and miserable, but that the story isn't true. My old grandpa used to tell us about it all the time, how he met the kid from the stories because of the war, and then he went on to squander a fortune and to die miserable at a youngish age. The old codger, that's Gord's grandfather, has been dead for nearly 20 years, so I can't really call him on it. He loved a good story and told them well, and who knows where the fault in the telephone line came in. Maybe he misheard an urban legend about the guy's demise after they met. Maybe it was all just a tall tale. They didn't have Google then. In any event, that's how he told it. I'm sad to hear it isn't entirely accurate. It does appear, though, and this is just from a very quick cursory counter Google, that Milne was widely documented to resent his father and the character he wrote based on him, and that he suffered from some degree of alcoholism, although it seems the cause of his death wasn't alcohol-related. And then he gave an article, a link to an article called Strange History, The Hell of Being Christopher Robin.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. The last point in this next one also talks about Christopher being resentful about his father's writing and fame. And that's from biography.com. Anyway, thanks for letting me know. I'll pass on the updates at the next family gathering. Hugs and love, Gord. So the next Laws family gathering is going to be a sad affair because Gord's going to debunk the whole story around Christopher Robin. But I did go on line and I followed Andre's link that he sent us, and I found a really interesting article about the genesis of the Winnie the Pooh stories. And they had a farm, and Christopher Robin, both his parents each got to choose a name of his. So his father, I think, chose Christopher. His mom chose Robin.
Oh, okay.
That's where the name comes from. And they had a farm. And on this farm, they had like a little broken down cottage. And there was a little stream. And there was a forest. And that was where all the stories took place. And actually, A.A. Milne, the father, wrote most of these stories after watching his son and his wife. And sorry, it was his son and the nanny. Because the Christopher Robin and his mother didn't really have a very good relationship. In fact, I think after the father died, she and he didn't even talk. She died without ever reconciling with him. So it's kind of a sad story in terms of the mom. And maybe that's part of what Gord was, you know, retelling from his grandfather. But they wrote most of these songs, and he actually got stuffed animals from...
Stories, you mean?
No, stuffed animals.
He said songs. You said they wrote most of these songs.
Song stories.
Stories.
Sorry.
I was like, he also wrote songs.
No, he got stuffed animals from Harrods as a birthday present. So he got this teddy bear, which he called Edward. And somehow that became Winnie the Pooh. Something to do with the zoo or something. There was a rhyming thing there. Okay. And then he got Eeyore and Piglet. And then he got Kanga and Roo. But they actually, those stuffed animals that the stories were written about are in the New York Public Library. You can actually go and see them. They were donated by A.A. Milne, well, by Christopher Robin, actually, to the New York Public Library. And you can actually still go and see them. They're there.
How far back was this? Because according to, if we go with 1930s, a bit 40s. Of what Gord said, Christopher Robin went to the World War, the Second World War.
Yeah, maybe even the 50s. I'm not sure about the exact dates. I just read through it yesterday. I wasn't making notes so that we could,
So it's probably like 70 debunk. Years ago.
Yeah, okay. I didn't want to debunk Gord's story. I was just interested. But the real stuffed toys are in the New York Public Library, and you can go and see them. Isn't that cool?
That.
Yeah. Oh, they did lose Roo. Oh. So Kanga.
He was always very much the outside looking in the story.
Roo's lost, but the rest they still have. And the farm was called the Cotchford Farm, where they grew up. And they had all these little places there. And this kid was the inspiration. In other words, the father didn't make up these stories around the child. The child actually used to imagine that he was talking to his toys and that they came alive. Pretty interesting, right? Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And A.A. Milne only, I think he died in the 1970s. And Christopher Robin only died in 1996. So, I mean, if Gord's grandfather died 20 years ago, then, just based on that, there wouldn't have been too much information about his death. It would have been fairly recent. So there's an interesting story. But, I love these things because you kind of get to figure out parts of history. And stories like these kids' stories are such a part of most children's lives. They allow kids to figure out their place in the world. And kids who grow up without stories, later on in life, they complain that their imagination was never developed. And especially now with games and movies and everything gets done for you in terms of imagination, and nobody's really reading books anymore. And the last big craze of reading books was Harry Potter, and not much since then.
What are you saying? Are you going to take away all of your nephew's toys and just give them a brick? Like,
no.
That's what we did. You imagine that thing was a tractor.
No, that's a terrible idea. Yeah. I mean, we all loved toys, right? And we had various degrees of ingenuity. I mean, if you go back a couple of generations, they probably did have blocks of wood and bricks, and they would imagine all kinds of things happening with those blocks and woods and bricks. Blocks of wood and bricks.
Yeah. We were playing with stones.
Yeah, like it wasn't even that long ago. Yeah.
Exactly, and you were okay.
It was wood, like
marbles, if you're lucky.
Yeah, and you would imagine that you'd built a massive castle if you piled 10 bricks on top of each other. You're like, this is my fort.
There we go.
You tie a rope
what
in
did
a string.
I play with?
No, rope in a tree and make a swing.
Well, I was a bit of a loner as well, and the only boy at home, so I just sat in front of the TV. That is also bad.
Oprah was your
And then Oprah basically saw you and guided you home.
Oh my goodness. She and my afternoons you. At 4 p.m. shaped my life.
But didn't you ever go outside and
I really
make things happen in the garden
at 5 p.m.
What did you do in the garden? What did you do? Ben, you grew up outside.
Gareth, every day was a new adventure.
Did you? Did you have a fort? Did you have a place where you would?
Well, it depended on how much freedom my brothers allowed me. If I wasn't tied up, then I would climb a tree. I would gather rocks.
Gather rocks.
Oh, I love that you suffered.
Stare at the different birds.
You love that he suffered.
It brings me immense pleasure.
You horrible human.
I know.
And because I suffered, I feel nothing towards your animosity.
He's tough, you see. He's fine.
So your brothers would tie you up.
Oh, they were shits, Gareth. They were absolute shits. And then when I became old enough and strong enough to be a decent sort of bowling machine for my brother's cricket batting bullshit, then I was obviously freed more often because then I could participate. And then I played more sports. So sport was my freedom.
But then they would tie you
put it this way, if I had like two left feet and like, I don't know, a dodgy elbow or something, I would have stayed tied up. But because I was physically able to participate in sport, I was granted freedom.
You managed to wrestle yourself free of their clutches.
Yeah. Ben, which was tougher to survive? Being tied up by your brothers or being in the wild with wolves?
Well, the wild is where I was truly at my happiest.
Yeah. Was it the freedom there?
Yeah, I think maybe that's why the way I am today is I seek freedom because that's all I've ever known. That's given me happiness.
What was the most horrible thing your brothers used to do?
They were just general dick brothers, I guess. I don't know, everyone's got sibling stories, but they were just... Yeah, and until I grew up to a certain point, so they were just dicks. My oldest brother was like, he was the worst. He was a prick. And we didn't really get along until, I don't know, later life. And but then again, I mean, it's not a unique story.
Every family has
a lot of
that.
People still hate their brothers and sisters and still to this day do not want to spend time with them.
Yeah. I know that people who, that your childhood ruins their sibling relationships.
Yeah.
But it's also especially a thing with boys is that the elder boys bully the younger ones. That's just how it works.
Yeah, because we're forced to stick together in these communes called families.
Yeah,
In the wild, you go and do your own thing. You
forage for your own vegetables and truffles.
I mean, look at a pack of lions. There's a guy with his harem. It's not like his brothers and his cousins hanging out, mooching off him.
No. Huh. You don't have any community. It's like one guy and he's in charge and he's got all the chicks and everybody else must piss off. And he fights them if they come and try and take one.
Yeah, you gotta admire the leopard in the wild. That's probably the ultimate animal.
Oh, do tell.
Because they're solitary.
Solitary, can kick anyone's ass. Good looking. Charisma.
Yeah, they're terrific.
Stealth.
Do you think the leopard is your spirit animal?
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay. All right.
Speaking of spirit animals, so how did the gift giving go with your spirit animal, Daniela?
Mixed reviews.
Mixed reviews? You were so excited about this.
Yeah, but I must stop thinking that my excitement counts for anything in life.
What does that mean?
What happened? All right, give us the lowdown now. We've been on tenterhooks since Monday.
No, I bet you Meowsers ruined it somehow.
No, Meowsers was fine. She was out of the picture. No, I just don't think, I don't know.
What happened? I mean, you told us that you had this gift planned. It sounded like it was a very exciting thing. You didn't tell us what it is, so start there.
Well, put it this way, you guys hyped it up more than it probably was. It was just quite simple.
Come on.
Being written into the will is a hype?
She's always spoken about wanting her own cat because Meowsers doesn't like her. So I got her own cat, a little boy cat, so that obviously there's a difference there. Because what if I get her like a mini Meowsers, is cute for like a couple of weeks and is like, bitch, please. So it's a little boy cat. He's from Four Ways, so he meows a bit differently. But
he goes meow.
And he was in a cage for the last month because he was found like just roaming around Four Ways Crossing.
Yeah.
And then he's been like literally in a cage the size of a microwave for the last month. And he's cool. He's got all his
happy little cat.
He's a happy little guy. He's pure white. Mm-hmm. Maybe she doesn't like the look of him. I don't know.
But what did she say? So she arrived home. You said, hey, happy anniversary.
Yeah, I made a little video for her about like, you know, I put cameras around the house and then she like saw the cats and then the cat's cool. She might like it. She might not.
But what was her reaction? Hey. I'm guessing that she didn't love it.
No, she seemed happy.
Okay. Was she like, wow, Ben, this is what I've always wanted?
No, that's not what she said.
Ben.
So,
God.
Oh, okay.
This is such a disappointment.
Well, sorry, guys. I mean, I didn't.
No,
really...
I'm not. Disappointing us, for you.
I'm disappointed that you're disappointed.
I'm not very disappointed. There's nothing else to really say. It's like you try things and sometimes they work.
Did she say to you, look, I really don't want a cat?
No, but she didn't exactly say, I really love the cat. I'm so happy I have a cat. So, I mean.
It's a thought that counts. It sounds corny, but it's true. you put all of this thought behind it and this effort as well, and you've made it happen.
Yeah, you're growing
sidebar, a cat is a lot of responsibility.
You're growing your own little...
And I have to look after it, and I'm traveling. I don't want that, but anyway.
Oh, sorry.
No,
did this become about you again?
No, I'm speaking on Daniela's behalf.
It took longer than usual.
It did take longer than usual.
I'm speaking on Daniela's behalf. She's always traveling with work, and this is something I can't take with me. And then I'd feel guilty that the cat is at home and I'm, you see, all of that. Perhaps that might be her thinking, but I'm sure she appreciates it.
Cool.
Oh, with the shrug, he's over it.
He shrugged his shoulders. Okay, but you like the little cat.
I like the little cat. He's cool.
And he's you told me that he's very cute and you've spent quite a lot of time with him.
He's very friendly. He seemed like a nice guy.
I think it's going to end up with, because also you spend a lot more time around the animal. And you do with Miazes. That's probably why Miazes likes you more. She kind of bonded with you early on. So this little cat's also going to end up bonding with you. So in name only, it'll be Daniela's.
Okay.
So congrats on your new cat, Ben.
But I do want to know how Miazes is treating the new guy.
I haven't met yet.
Ben was telling me this is a whole thing.
And there's various theories around when a new... And I'm sure... listeners can add into this from personal experience, but you bring a cat into a house and there's an existing cat. That existing cat has no interest in another friend.
Like,
because again, cats, solitary animals. Mm-hmm. Like this morning, Miazes, as I feed her, there's a couple of cats that roam around the area, and words got out that the food's good at our place. I mean, that's how Miazes got there in the first place. So,
because remember, Miazes was never really Ben and Daniela's cat.
Yeah. Yeah, she moved in like it was a youth hostel. So, when obviously Meows has had a sleep the whole night, she has her breakfast, and I leave the door open a little bit for her so she can go and, you know, see what's happening in the world, get some fresh air.
Sure.
And I hear this hissing sound.
Ooh.
So I look around, and some other cat wants to come visit, and Meows is like,
not today.
Like, but sometimes, like, she humors these cats, but today she was like angry.
Mm.
I got this great photo of Meows by our security gates, and this other cat's looking so petrified. And then Meows is just like, chase her off, like, get out of here. I got other shit to deal with today.
So you've got the new little kitten in a separate room, and Miazes knows there's something in there.
Yeah.
But she can't meet him yet.
So I've spent, like, I go see him in the morning, go see him in the evening, so make sure his litter tray is clean and he's got food and everything. I, you know, hang out with him a little bit. And as I walked out of the room, Miazes was standing on the staircase looking at me like I just cheated on her.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine, like, it's that look you get if you are being extramarital.
Mm.
And she just looked at me and she didn't storm off, but she walked a little bit quicker than just strolled. It was like this in-between I'm upset tempo, which is quite something to actually act out for an animal.
She knows something is
She out. Knows. So, she's got that female intuition.
Yeah. Mm.
So this weekend, it's going to be introduction time. And she's obviously going to hate the little cat. The little cat's going to be like, hi, I'm new.
Well, at this stage, it looks like you're the only one who is going to like the little cat.
Oh, God.
Yeah, look, I mean, if I get old in life and I've got a couple of cats, I have no shame in that. I like cats. They suit my personality.
I mean, when Leanne was around, she used to tell us about how much she loved cats, and she had about 20 of them.
Mm.
She was farming them.
Basically.
She really was. She was farming them. She would... I've heard from neighbors that she would come to the gate and the cats would follow her like a wave under her. It was almost like she was surfing on the cats. Oh, well, this is exciting. You've got a new cat.
Mm.
And Daniela doesn't love it.
What's the cat's name? Does the cat have a name yet?
Well, she hasn't named it. I don't think she's committed anything yet.
Okay.
Well, it's her cat, so
you know
she
what,
names
Finn,
it.
If you think about it, Miazes is almost like your child. And what you've done now is you've introduced a child that had no, there was no input from the mother before the child came into the world. So it was almost like you adopted some kid from the, you know, the foster home.
Yeah. So ultimately, I've probably done the wrong thing here. And well, life goes on, guys. Life goes
Shame.
On.
Well, we'll see. Just don't throw the cat out onto the street.
No.
You know, you've just rescued it.
No, this cat's gone through enough. I mean, it lived in four ways, roaming the streets where someone obviously, I don't know what happened, but nobody came to look for the cat. It was at the vet for a whole month.
You got to call it Eddie. Name it after Hard Eddie. Or else give it one of those designer four ways names that nobody really should give their children. Something horrible. Really. Something with a little bit of international flair, even though all it's done is live in four ways. Okay, well, it's 25 after 6 already. Good morning. Anybody watch any of the Zuckerberg before Congress stuff yesterday?
I'm just seeing it all through the memes. So I don't know what to believe, but it's all funny.
Oh yes, I saw one. I never know if it's a GIF or a GIF or whatever.
Yeah.
No, actually, it was an actual video where he slowly picks up the glass of water next to him and he drinks it. And the caption was something along the lines of, "Remember, humans drink water."
Yeah.
Try to look like the humans.
Try to look like the humans. Well, there have been a bunch of very funny pictures going around of Zuckerberg with his eyelids closing the wrong way. And there's some great stuff on the internet. The internet is just so fantastic when it comes to this.
I love that there was one meme where he's sitting on a baby high chair at the table.
And one where he turns and he's looking at this one senator and he says, "I didn't do anything. Come on, man. Please believe me. It's your daughter's birthday, for God's sake." And the senator goes, "How did you know that?" And he picks up the water and drinks. Isn't that great? He's really just, I don't know. Some people say he acquitted himself really well. He was very good. A lot of people are just horrified that these senators know so little about the internet.
Of course.
They really are very old men who really don't know anything about the internet at all. They're totally disconnected from that.
Is it the fact that they don't know much, or they're trying to be objective?
Mm-mm.
By having to ask these questions.
They don't know. They don't know a thing.
Different ball game for them, man.
Yeah, they're totally out of their depth. They lost.
They prefer to grill Hillary over some foreign affairs issue.
I think so, and they're also not sure whether they like or understand this Facebook, but they've heard their grandchildren like it, so they don't want to upset everybody. You know, you got senators like Orrin Hatch saying, "You know, is Facebook still free?"
Something
like that. They're just really very very doof. You can listen to this quickly. Here's a little clip that might give you some
sustain a business model in which users don't pay for your service.
Senator, we run ads.
I see.
Is this guy outfoxing the foxes, or is he going along with what is a major trend in an information age to try to harvest information for political forces?
There are days when I wonder if the Facebook friends is a little misstated. That doesn't seem like I have those every single day.
So how many data categories do you store? Does Facebook store?
Senator, can you clarify what you mean?
How many does Facebook store out of that? Do you store any?
Senator, I'm not actually sure what that is referring to.
Now, my son Charlie, who's 13, is dedicated to Instagram, so he'd want to be sure I mentioned him while I was here with you.
Emailing within WhatsApp, does that ever inform your advertisers?
No, we don't see any of the content in WhatsApp. It's fully encrypted.
Let's say I'm emailing about Black Panther within WhatsApp. Do I get a Black Panther banner ad?
He's emailing
Senator,
in WhatsApp.
We don't. Facebook systems do not see the content of messages being transferred over WhatsApp.
Yeah, I know, but that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking about whether these systems talk to each other without a human being touching it.
I mean, these are the people in charge of making laws in America. You see, politicians, just when you think Zuckerberg is an evil lizard, and he is, just remember that the politicians are so much worse. If he's a reptile, they are insects.
Oh, he was so rolling his eyes throughout all of that.
I'm sure he had a grand old time. Do you know what else happened? His stocks went up.
Oh, that's true, yes.
His stocks went up.
I don't get that.
He's literally gone back underground and under the soil where he lives with the last laugh, just dishing out bags of dicks left, right, and center because he's just these idiots. And I made even more money out of this whole ordeal.
But I'd love to know the process. Did they all have questions, or were they literally just having an open Q&A with him?
It sounded ridiculous.
When you email someone through WhatsApp, I mean, you can't be serious. In 2018, you can't say that. He's making it up. He's having a laugh.
I know none of us are Anthea here, but does someone understand even slightly why the stocks would go up? Saga would bring it down.
Because he performed really well, and he made the senators look stupid mostly. And he answered all the questions. He was very good. I mean, you being grilled by 44 people.
Hmm.
I mean, did you see that picture of him in front of all the cameras?
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
There was a picture that they released where he's sitting at that desk where he was giving testimony. and there is a bank of cameras around him. It's like he's surrounded by, oh, easily more than 100 different cameras. And there are microphones in his face and everything else. You're like, wow, that would be an intimidating situation for any human being.
That's an invasion of privacy, essentially.
Yeah, and he's sitting right there. And look, again, do not mistake my grudging respect for him for admiration. He's been called there. He didn't want to go. He had to go. You have to give account to yourself, to the government. But the government, these senators don't know the first thing about how the internet works. And Zuckerberg did a pretty damn good job. And then people thought, well, okay, Facebook's in good hands.
Mm.
That's why they bought more stock.
So just to speak to your criticism of the only other people worse than the Lizard King is the politicians.
Yeah, they're worse. They're lower than reptiles. Think
so
about that.
Part of what they were also trying to do yesterday was to corner him into supporting new government regulation. So if you had to pick between Zuckerberg and his shenanigans or new government regulation, which side do you pick? Because that's another reason why the stocks went up, is he successfully managed to avoid supporting new government laws that they want to enforce.
Isn't that always the best option? Don't we always want less government in our lives? I've never ever heard of a situation where more government was the answer.
No, I've never ever. I've never seen a hashtag say
it
more government.
It never happens. Even for,
if it's not been hashtagged, then there's nothing happening.
If the only people who want more government are the government.
Yeah, because it works in their favor.
It doesn't help poor people, doesn't help rich people, doesn't help old people, young people, anybody. More government is always a fucking disaster. So these guys are, they've proven again that there's a hierarchy of shittiness. And they're right at the bottom of it. They're at the lowest common denominator, politicians. No matter how awful and evil and twisted and self-serving someone like Mark Zuckerberg is.
Oh, guys.
And he is. He's an evil, evil son of a bitch. Just multiply that by 100 and you're only scratching the surface with politicians. Because they are blatantly and openly living off of your tax money. Politicians are the worst.
And giving us nothing, essentially.
Nothing. They sit and then they lord it over you by driving past you in blue light brigades, and, you know, telling you how stupid you are, treating you like you're an idiot, and patronizing you and your family. And then they still take half your money. I mean, that's insulting in the extreme. At least Zuckerberg, if you don't want to go on Facebook, you don't have to go on Facebook. You don't want to go on WhatsApp, don't.
Exactly.
Don't want to use Instagram, don't. Then you have nothing to do with Mark Zuckerberg. But you can't do that with government. Just because you were born in the borders of a certain country, you have to start paying them for that privilege. That's insane. So, I don't know. I mean, he's just a horrible human being, but or lizard, whatever he is.
I would have loved for him to have a stronger comeback when the one senator was doing a shout-out to his 13-year-old son, saying, oh, well, my son would have been disappointed if I didn't bring him up.
That's where he should have said,
into Instagram.
He's just a senator. Your son is currently watching porn.
What did he say?
No, he didn't say anything, but I would have been like, oh, Instagram? Cool, I own that too. Drops mic.
Do any of you senators have Instagram?
There were certain moments.
Oh, well. All right, let's get into some things you need to know this morning. The five things you need to know. Take it away, Mubs.
The Department of International Relations and Cooperation confirmed yesterday that a South African man was arrested in Dubai, allegedly after recording an interaction with AJ Gupta.
Okay, so this is real.
Who is wanted by the South African police. It's so confusing because I also had to look this one up on multiple sites to try and figure out the validity of the story. And there are a few online publications reporting on this. And Durko, according to them, say that Justin van Pletsen has now been detained in Dubai, but is not yet confirmed whether his arrest is linked to the video, which was shared wildly on social media. The man asked Gupta when he would be returning to the country, and then Gupta jokes apparently in this video saying with a sore heart. I don't understand. This is considered the first sighting since AJ fled the country in late February. He is, of course, wanted for a number of things.
Yeah, we spoke about this yesterday, but the fact that the Department of International Relations has confirmed it means in Dubai, you may be a horrendous person. Again, we're comparing evil like we did Zuckerberg and the politicians. I mean, you could be a thief and a fugitive from justice like Ajay Gupta. And the guy who gets arrested and put in jail is the guy who walks up to him with a camera and says, hey, South Africa's looking for you. It's not like he walked up and punched him in the head. It's not like he threatened him. He's in trouble just for filming that interaction. That country's so backward. I've told you a million times I hate Dubai. And I really cannot begin to explain the level with which I have animosity towards those countries which lock people away for doing things which are there are victimless crimes in this world. And if you're someone with an opinion, or you're someone who uses your phone, which for God's sake has a camera on it, to film some interaction with a known controversial figure in South African politics, why would you be the one who has to go to jail?
Mm.
What kind of a government puts you away? Why haven't they sent Ajay Gupta in a box back here? Our parliament wants to see him. Our parliament. Like Zuckerberg was asked by Congress to come. He went. Ajay Gupta should be put in a cage and sent here so he could testify before parliament. We need answers from this guy. They know that in Dubai. They know we're looking for the Guptas. But what do? They arrest some dude with a camera. Fascists.
And then what is Durko's role in this situation? I mean, I haven't seen any reports about whether or not they're trying to intervene to have this guy released, because surely that's an opportunity for them to step in and say, whoa, 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 wait a minute.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. I mean, Durko, the Department of International Relations and Cooperation was really such a shadow of its former self under Maite Nguana-Mashabane. And she was a terrible minister, and we didn't do anything proactive in terms of international affairs. Nothing was ever reported. Durko just, it was there. It just sat there absorbing money. We didn't build relations with any significant nation. In fact, our relations deteriorated with our best trading partners. This is just observing from the outside. I don't know, because I haven't seen any activity in that department, but did you know anything about what Durko does? I mean, I certainly didn't see them going, well, we've signed this great new trade deal with China, or with India, or with Russia, or with anyone, and maybe even some of the countries that we are already trading with and that are our major trading partners. The EU, Britain, the UK, the US. I mean, you don't hear about this stuff from Durko. Now we've got Lindiwe Sisulu, who by any estimation, anybody is better than Maite Nguana-Mashabane. So here we've got Lindiwe. Hopefully she's doing some stuff there. International relations important, because that determines where you figure yourself in the world, who you're allied to when it comes to voting in the UN, what kinds of decisions you make, who your community of nations are, what you stand up for, what you stand against. I mean, the things South Africa's voted against in the UN are just horrendous, like, you know, human rights, our record in human rights at the UN has deteriorated since the Mbeki era. Really badly. So I don't know what Durko's role is. They're probably there to now see to it that this guy's rights are respected. Well, good luck to them. She's never been arrested in the first place, but they're dealing with an absolute monarchy in Dubai where there's no right for an average person. Nobody has rights in Dubai. You don't have rights. So everybody goes then, oh, let's go shopping. It's a goddamn backward desert country. And this poor man is in jail because he filmed Ajay Gupta, who's walking around like he's done nothing wrong. This is a man who ripped our country off. It's called state capture. There's an investigation going on about it. This is not a fable. It's not a kid's story. How can this dude be in more trouble than Ajay? Send him here in a cage. Let's get our money back. Sell whatever those Guptas have got in Dubai and give it back to the South African public from which it was ill-gotten in the first place. That'll help build schools. It'll help stop children from dying in pit toilets. It'll help people get jobs. It'll build houses. Help create infrastructure in places where there isn't any. And we're arresting cameramen in Dubai. Insane. Goddamn Guptas. Can you believe where they've taken us? What else is in the news?
Well, two of the men who escaped from the Johannesburg Correctional Center earlier this week made it all the way to KZN.
Hmm. That's where they went.
Unfortunately, they were then shot dead.
No.
Yes, this was confirmed by the Hawks yesterday.
Well, that's going to cost us a whole lot less, yay.
The men were shot at around 10:30 p.m. on Tuesday night already during an operation by the Hawks where they were assisted by the Durban K9 unit and the Provincial Tracing Unit. The vehicle that they were driving in was spotted near Greytown, and then police stopped the vehicle and fired shots to the people in the vehicle started firing shots towards the police. So the police officers returned fire in self-defense, killing the occupants. It was also reported that a 9mm pistol and a toy gun were found on these men. Now, their identities cannot be revealed until their families have identified their bodies. But yeah, so far that's 2 out of the 16 who escaped.
They were traveling together. That was a mistake. You always split up. You know, you see in the movies, you got to split up.
And they made it all the way to KZN. I mean, sure.
Wow. Well, they're off our payroll. Hooray.
I wonder what their plan was.
They're going to find these other guys too?
Seems
they tracked these guys down. That's pretty good going.
Yeah, and it happened pretty quickly as well.
Right. 2 days later.
What else?
So another ANC veteran has died at the age of 75. I don't know if you spoke about this yesterday already. Not.
No, who?
Oh, Zola Skweyiya. He passed yesterday, yes.
He's a former Minister for Social Development.
Yes, that's right, Gareth. Born in Simonstown, Cape Town, in 1942. And then after becoming an MP in 1994, Skweyiya immediately assumed the position of Public Service and Administration Minister. In 1999, he was appointed Social Development Minister, which he held for 10 years. And then in 2009, he was appointed as High Commissioner of South Africa to the UK and Ireland. And then on his return to the country, he remained an active ANC veteran, and he passed yesterday.
I remember him. He was one of the good guys. He really was. As politicians go, he seemed to have people's interests at heart. He was a great Minister of Social Development and Welfare. Played a huge role in us making social grants available to poor families, particularly parents. So he was a good guy. He made strides in the right direction. And even if you're one of those people who is totally opposed to the idea of social welfare, or even if you're one of those people who's a massive fan of social welfare, you have to acknowledge this was a real human rights stalwart. And I think rest in peace, man, sir. You seem to me to be someone who made a huge contribution to South Africa and tried every day to be the best kind of public servant. And those people are rare, so. Good for him. Rest in peace, Zola Skweyiya.
Yeah. And then KPMG can't seem to get a break just yet.
What have they broken now?
Well, no, another top executive has been suspended at KPMG, and this is as new scandal threatens to engulf the audit firm. They suspended the head of its largest business unit, who was the lead audit partner on VBS Mutual Bank.
Oh, that was the bank that gave the president the home loan that he never had to pay back.
Sipho Malaba was tasked with running KPMG's largest business unit, financial services auditing, back in October last year when the firm announced its new executive team. But yeah, now they've had to suspend him because there's a new scandal threatening to engulf the firm in even more bad news.
At least they suspended him, you know?
Yeah.
I think they're desperate to just clean up their image a little bit. So if they've arrested him, it means they obviously don't want things to get uglier and they don't want it to get messier. So take him out of the job. And the truth will come out. We've figured that out, right? We figured that eventually the truth comes out. Might take a while, but you get there. VBS Bank. It's crazy. That's the Vendor Building Society Bank.
$7 million, I think, was the amount that they loaned the president, wasn't it?
Yeah, and do you think he's paid back a single cent? Not a chance.
What nice life problems to get $7 million and never have to pay
never
it back.
Never pay it back.
Yeah. I mean, it's like winning the lottery, essentially.
Yeah. Well, lottery again and again you get taxed on. This one, you probably didn't get taxed on.
Yep, those are the five things you need to know. Oh.
700.
He's just correcting the number that we borrowed.
Right.
769,820.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President, former president. All right. Well, should we get into Ben and some cryptocurrency? How are you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You ready for that? Alrighty, it's 6:45. Don't forget, Justice Malala popping by with the Burning Platform, and that's brought to you by Nando's, 7 o'clock this morning, live and first for you. You can get it right here. You can listen to it live, or the best thing about what we do here is you can listen when it suits you. I know you got things to do. I know you got a busy day. Maybe you don't have a chance to listen to us live. Maybe it suits you better to listen to the podcast. Well, it's as easy as going to our app, cliffcentral.com. You can look it up by category. You can go to the lineup. You can see for yourself what kind of content there is and just download it. Then it's on your phone and you can listen at your leisure. All right, so a little bit better in cryptocurrencies today. The Bitcoin price is just under $7,000. I know that doesn't sound like a lot when we used to be at 10 and then at 15 and then at 20. But it's hovering somewhere around $6,949.80. Ethereum, currently at $435.05, also on a little uptick. And Ripple is even up at $0.53. So that's the cryptocurrencies. Let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the world of sport. Take it away, Ben.
It's not often that the Champions League is the most exciting thing in the week.
No.
A lot of the time, the big teams get through, and sure, it's entertaining football, but on the scale of drama, I think you're in a battle to find a bigger week in the last few years, or recent memory. So we all know that Roma dispatched Barcelona this week. They were never meant to, they were never going to, and then they kind of did. Well, Juventus went to Real Madrid last night, 3-0 down. And so after their home leg, they had conceded 3 goals and scored nothing. Well, the game started pretty brightly. Juventus scored. They scored again. They were 2-0 up at halftime, 3-0 up in the second half, and 3-0 up after 90 minutes. The tie was locked at 3-3. Away goals didn't apply because they both had 3 of them. And then, in true dramatic fashion, and with heartbreak looming, the referee pointed to the spot, and Ronaldo kicked the ball in. And that was Juventus' hearts broken. So English ref, his name is, well, it's not really important because he's just a ref who gave a penalty. Now, Buffon, who is the 40-year-old goalkeeper for Juventus, he had this to say. Clearly, you cannot have a heart in your chest, but a bag of rubbish, speaking of the referee. On top of that, if you don't have the character to walk on a pitch like this, in a stadium like this, you can sit in the stands with your wife, your kids, having drinks and eating crisps. So he basically said that this referee completely bottled it. He gave a penalty that was very much not a penalty. He said it was a tenth of a penalty. And with that, Buffon basically gave him a piece of his mind, all 40 years of his mind.
You don't have a heart, you've got what?
Well, it just, you got a bag of rubbish.
A bag of rubbish.
A bag of rubbish beats in your cavity. And the referee sent Buffon off. Huh. So not only was the dream slaughtered right there, and it was an amazing match, what they went through to get back to it, because Juventus aren't the team they were last year, and granted, Real Madrid aren't the team they were last year either, but it's at Real Madrid, and the crowd is going nuts, and the ref just said, nah, penalty. In injury time, 93rd minute, there it is. So it was going to go to extra time. Look, Real Madrid might have still won, who knows, that's not important, but Buffon then just gave him a piece of his mind, and he got sent off. 650 appearances for Juventus last night. First ever Champions League red card. So that is how he's going to bow out. Although, as we said last year, he might play another season. So it's hard. It's hard to take this kind of stuff. It really is. But this is sport. You win some, you lose some. Or in my case, being a Stormers fan, you lose some and you lose some. So spare a thought for Juventus fans today, because that really was quite... It was gut-wrenching how it all ended. And it's just, why does it always have to end with Ronaldo getting a penalty, kicking the goal, taking his shirt off? It's like we're tired of these scenes. We want to see something else. I know Ronaldo sold his soul to the devil. That's why his life is so charmed. Oh. But come on. I mean, wow.
Obviously, Sia.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
You guys really educate me on a lot on the show.
Well, see,
Mark Zuckerberg is the lizard, Ronaldo sold his soul to the devil.
Well, you know, like, because before Ronaldo and Messi, they were just footballers. They were good ones, they were better ones, they were slightly okay ones. Then these two came about. So what Messi did is he sold, well, his family sold him to Barcelona. So that basically Barcelona have a child and his name was Lionel Messi. But Ronaldo went a different route and sold his soul to the devil.
Right, here. Yeah. Oh. There's proof on the internet. Just look it up.
And of course, because the internet is always right.
And Sia, to back it up, those two have relentlessly been the greatest footballers in the world.
Yeah.
7 steps ahead of anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, in any other given time frame, Wayne Rooney was actually a footballing god. But these guys make him look like an actor out of EastEnders.
Oh.
That's
how good they are.
All this is doing is giving great PR for the devil, then.
Yes.
Align yourself with the dark side and look at what great things happen to you.
The devil is using this to maximum PR benefit.
Yeah.
In fact, didn't he win a prism?
Yeah. Sia would know.
Yeah, he was a judge there.
Can you judge him?
Sia voted for the
Can
devil.
You judge the devil's campaign? Sia.
Overall global PR strategy, the devil.
It's really in rankings. Oh, I mean, it goes Bell Pottinger, then the devil.
Ah,
and then, you know, then
I should have raised my eyebrow at Lucifer Ltd. Pty.
Yeah, there we go.
Ah,
idiot.
That's who.
So they go through, as do Bayern München, Munich, Bayern. They go
München.
Because they had a boring 0-0 draw with Sevilla, so they go through. And of course, Roma go through, and of course, Liverpool go through. So that's your exciting semi-final draw. But in the really big European football, I say with absolutely no sincerity whatsoever, it's the Europa League quarterfinal tonight. Olympique Marseille will take on Leipzig. Salzburg will take on Lazio. Sporting will take on Atletico. And CSKA Moscow will take on Arsenal. Arsenal, of course, their only chance of ever playing in the Champions League and being beaten by teams like Bayern Munich and Real Madrid is if they win this Thursday Cup. They should just call it the Europa Thursday Cup. I mean, who are they trying to kid with this UEFA Europa League?
Oh, please.
I mean, firstly, it just sounds like a place that you're going to get lunch. And secondly, just call it the Thursday League. Let's call it what it is.
Place you're going to get lunch?
It does. The UEFA Europa. Yeah, okay. Just get me a bagel. In the Gold Coast, the Commonwealth Games, well, it was another big day for the South Africans. Man, all long jumpers. These guys are absolute, absolute heroes. So, you know, in the World Champs, that Luvo Manyonga and Rachel Samai, they finished 1-2. Gold, silver in the World Champs. Well, unfortunately, bloody Aussie got in the way this time around. It's kind of separating the two, but when it came to podium time, Manyonga and Samai on the podium. Manyonga again got to the gold. He is the greatest long jumper. He won with a personal best, I think 8-4-1 is a games record as well, where Samai was 8-2-2 and Henry Frayn, he was 8-3-3. There was also a bronze for Sinit Fuljun in the javelin, the men's F38 shot put final. Well, Reinhard Hamann got a bronze there. Of course, the Commonwealth Games is where they run the Commonwealth Games and then the Paralympic Commonwealth
Parawealth Games
concurrently, so the whole deal, and that's what's really kind of cool about this, makes it unique. I always get back myself in a corner by saying things that are potentially offensive. And there was also medals in like lawn bowl. The great thing is, like, your granddad can go to the Commonwealth Games, you know.
Yes, because they got old people categories, and
you know, like, obviously Gord's got a story about his granddad going to war, but in peace times your granddad can go to the Commonwealth Games. Mm-hmm. That in itself is kind of cool. Obviously, lawn bowls is all he's capable of. But there was also controversy. So, as you know, SA sprinters are just sensational right now. There was a 1-2 in the 100 meters for Kani Sabini and Enrico Brainchis. Now, the same is being expected for the 200 meters. We've got Clarence Munya, who is just such an incredible young talent. He came second in the semi-final. He's through to the finals. And then Anastasia Jobodwana, who beats Justin Gatlin recently here in SA over 150 meters. Unfortunately,
I remember, you didn't you go and watch that, or you told us to?
Yeah, I didn't. I was away at the time. So unfortunately for Jobodwana, he false started yesterday.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he kind of fell forward and that was it. But then the authorities gave him a green flag saying, okay, you've done something wrong, but you can still race. He promptly then went on to trot to a second place, which got him a chance into the... got him into the in the finals. But then these dickbags from Trinidad and Tobago, I call them dickbags, but I mean, they were always going to appeal the verdict because their guy missed out because Jobodwana got through. And the IAAF said, yeah, okay, actually, yeah, let's disqualify this dude. I just think how heartbreaking this is for Jabba Dwana. He missed the birth of his child because he was training for this race. The last month, just trained his balls off, basically, to get to the Commonwealth Games and be a medal contender. And in one split second, the dream is gone. So Athletics South Africa is going to appeal this decision, saying they, the IAAF weren't actually in jurisdiction to provide this, which is an interesting case. No word of Dalia Mpofu will be called in for this bit because the race will take place at 1:56 SA time. So tick tock on the legals there if Jabba Dwana will get in, but it's not looking good right now, which is a big shame, massive shame. It really is. Well, we've got Super Rugby, but I think we'll get into that tomorrow because we haven't got quite enough time. And well, yeah, it's just a heartbreak for Juventus fans. I think it's the real big story today in your Thursday sport.
All right, thank you, Ben. That's a lot to chew on. Sia, you got some said by Sia for us this morning?
Yes, I do.
All right, let's take it away. It's very exciting. Go on. Let's hear from you, Ben. I mean, Sia.
You know, a little earlier we were talking about Winnie the Pooh and cartoons, etc., etc.
Yes.
Well, this, I think, is a cartoon in the making. And here we are. Just write this down, please, because I want my commission on this if it happens. I call this character Super Sari because a 58-year-old Indian woman is being hailed as a hero after her quick thinking helped to save 20 people from a burning factory on Monday morning.
Jesus.
Think about this. She's just minding her own business. It's 6:30 a.m. in the morning. She was busy making breakfast. Her name is Jyoti Verma. Mm-hmm. When her neighbor alerted her to a fire that had erupted in a building that was adjacent to her Delhi apartment. So when she rushed to the window to actually see all of this, she saw that 10 people were crying for help from the third story as smoke billowed from the windows of the lower floors.
What so would that, you do? I mean, Mubs has told us before, like,
panic.
Don't get involved, right?
Jeez, but this is people in a burning building. You know, you can't exactly turn a blind eye to that.
Don't you just get away?
No, I mean, not unless you've sold your soul to the devil.
Like Ronaldo.
Ronaldo and Zuckerberg. But in this case, in a burning building.
I'm not a firefighter. Ben has true. Actually had some firefighting experience, haven't you?
I was a fireman for a night, and the only fire I saw was a guy lighting a cigarette. But yeah, I mean, I've run some drills.
I think Ben would go in there.
You would call the authorities. Well, Verma, on the other hand, initially threw one end of her sari, that was the only thing that was on her at that point, to the worker so that they could climb from the window down to the safety of her balcony. And because they were too afraid to risk the 15-foot distance, one man actually jumped straight onto the balcony from the window of the factory. So not wanting anyone else to injure themselves by jumping, Verma rushed inside to get her MacGyver on. She actually spotted her ladder that was in her apartment and she used that to help the rest of the crew. Now, with the help of her neighbor, they were able to save everyone else. Over the course of the next half hour, 20 workers in total were able to crawl to safety. Do you know what makes the story even more incredible?
No, tell me.
Through more investigation, it was actually identified that this factory that these workers were stuck in is an illegal one, which means they operate undercover to save expenses, etc., etc. So these workers were actually locked in. That's what the owner does, locks these workers during the evening.
Yeah,
exactly.
We think we're horrible people here in South Africa. We've got even
this
more horrible
people. This
is
happening in India.
Hey, this is how the Guptas ran Dane and Seven. Remember?
Jeez, under harsh conditions.
So now because a fire ensued, surely that's like
It has now brought everything to light. But the reason why these workers were panicking was because there was no way out. So if it wasn't for Verma and her super sari, who knows what would have happened. So I say, look, the least we can do for someone doing something this heroic is name a cartoon after her.
I agree.
Super sari to the rescue.
Very
for
nice.
Set by Sia this morning.
Okay, when we come back, it's the Burning Platform with Justice Malala and some news.
This is CliffCentral.com.